Well, Linda Siegel is here today. We've been doing our legislative update for the last several weeks, and now it's time for the legislative wrap-up. The session ended yesterday.
Yes, we hope that that's the last we see of them for a year, but who knows?
Is there talk of a special session?
There's always talk of a special session when you have these recession-like experiences, and we don't really know if our revenue is going to go up or down. So legislators are very worried about whether they will have to come back in the summer and readjust the budget that they just did for the next fiscal year.
So let's talk about the budget. As people who've been following this show and the news in general are sure to know, the low price of oil and gas is making it also a situation where we have very low tax revenues for the state of New Mexico.
Yes, so the budget that was passed by the Senate and then concurred by the House on the last day is a $6.2 billion budget, which is the same as our budget in 2008 as the recession was beginning. So here we are back to quite a few years ago.
What was it last year?
Last year it was 6.3 because we were inching up almost to the levels. When we cut the budget during the recession, we had almost gotten up to $6.3 billion. So we were almost back there. Now we're in the downward direction.
And the cost of living, the rate of inflation is a few percentage points every year. So,
yeah, a flat budget is actually a loss to many people. And, of course, in this budget, there were lots of cuts. Higher ed, for instance, got a $20 million cut, so that's spread among all the colleges and universities in the state. What they do, it's a technique they do when they need to cut money from the budget. They do what's called sanding, and they take a percentage off of everybody so that the pain is equally shared. So they sanded about $26 million off of all the departments. But there were some loser departments, like the Department of Health was cut $11 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And the big winners were the corrections department, which desperately needed the money. They got about $11 million in new money to be able to hire more corrections officers and start paying people a little better. But it's not a great budget. It's, I think, the best they could do, and we'll be seeing if we're going to have a special legislative session perhaps in the late summer.
Why would we? You mean even lower, what do we do now?
Right. If on July 1, it looks like the revenues have not come up to what they needed them to come up to, then we'll be back into a special session for a few days to cut the budget even more, the current budget even more.
So there's still no talk of a penny or two tax on a gallon of gas?
No, there was the idea thrown out there, but there were no tax increases in this budget, none whatsoever. And there was no reason for the democratically controlled Senate to pass tax increases on anything when they knew that the House would not hear them or simply vote them down.
So there were also some tax credits which did not get renewed, like the solar tax credit?
Yeah, the solar tax credit did not get renewed. And of course, that's been a recurring item in the budget for quite a few years. So we'll have to see if we come back in the legislature in 2017, if we can get that back up there.
Okay.
But there were a number of bills for tax credits and tax exemptions that went to the House Ways and Means Committee, and rightly so, none of them passed. Although I think the solar tax credit could have passed because we already had that money in our existing budget, the
right
credit money.
Okay, so anything else about the budget?
So that's the budget. Just on one note, there were a number of bills introduced in this 30-day session, over 1,000 bills introduced, and only 123 of them actually passed both chambers.
And we'll talk about what some of those are. The new driver's license bill, which both sides claim is a big victory.
Yes, it's interesting. But we now do have a solution, and that solution is that people who want to get a real ID, citizens who want to get a real ID will be able to, and citizens and undocumented immigrants will be able to get a driving certificate, which is basically what we have now. And current immigrants who have a driver's license will not have to get fingerprinted. Anybody new, any undocumented immigrant who is new to applying for a driving authorization card, will have to get a fingerprint, get fingerprints, and then those fingerprints will only be used to see if they have any outstanding criminal charges.
All right. So
that bill is on the way to the governor, and she says she'll sign it.
All right. So crime bills, any of those passed? That was a big agenda item of the governor.
Yes, it was. And actually, some of them did pass. Now, the three strikes you're out bill, which would have increased the number of crimes that would be eligible for three strikes, you're out, you're never getting out of prison kind of thing. That bill did not pass. But we had some bills that did pass that were a change some in the Senate, and so they were, I think they addressed the problems. One of them was the bail bonds, of course. That was a constitutional amendment, and that was a big issue for law enforcement, for the courts, for the district attorneys, the defense attorneys. And a compromise was struck there with the bail bond industry. So now judges will be able to hold people who have
committed heinous crimes.
Heinous crimes, yes, and crimes where they have a long record of committing crimes, will be able to hold them without bail. And poor people who are in jail for traffic tickets or jaywalking. I mean, we heard these horror stories in the hearings about people who just did these minor things, and because they didn't have any money, they sat in jail for weeks, where the cities and the counties are paying tens of thousands of dollars a month to hold people that really should be out on
jaywalking,
their own.
Really?
Well, yeah, we heard stories of parking tickets, people just being and sitting there for weeks in jail. So this will enable a judge, the compromise with the bail bond industry, a judge would be able to hear the situation, hear the case, and say, okay, you need to get out without having to post bond.
And what did they give the bail bond industry?
Well, that's what they gave them, that instead of just automatically being able to get out if you didn't have a record and you didn't have any violent crimes on your record and you committed one of these minor issues, then you could just get out without having to have it reviewed by the court. And so now there will be it'll just add another step to it. So it's
all right.
It's a good compromise, I suppose. And that will be on the ballot in the November election all of us to decide. And there were a lot of other constitutional amendments introduced, but that was the only one that didn't have to do with land transfer that actually passed. And I'll talk about, when we talk about education, I'll mention the other one. So other crime bills that passed, the use of juvenile records under certain conditions where someone has a history of committing violent crimes even as a juvenile, then those will be available if a court wants to see those.
What's at issue with that?
Well, juvenile records are sealed.
Yeah.
And this would enable a district attorney to say to the court, look, I think you need to look back at these other activities that this person has done.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, that seems quite reasonable. The big hot topic was the pornography bill, where in our current law there were restrictions on how much time a person would serve, even if they had thousands of pictures of pornography of kids.
Yeah.
And so this bill increases the penalties for those crimes. And one thing that was taken out of the bill by the Senate Judiciary was the sexting for actually young people, teenagers. I think it was 14 to 16 or something. You know, if they were texting back and forth pictures of themselves, you know, which might be considered pornography, they could be guilty of a felony.
And oh dear.
The Senate Judiciary thought that's not really a good idea, so they exempted certain activities by young people, which was a big compromise.
Whereas if you're 19 and you're sexting a picture of yourself, you're in trouble?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
There was also part of that was if in this day of infinite capacity hard drives, you had a lot of pictures. Each picture would be one count, which
yes.
means you'd go to jail for 700
yes,
billion years.
Right. So That's what we got fixed.
Now?
No, that was fixed.
Okay.
But there is more, there's longer time served if this looks like your kind of business or your hobby that you're into pornographic pictures of children, maybe you should be somewhere else. DWI, some penalty increases for repeat offenders of DWI, so that bill passed too. So there were some crime bills addressed.
All right.
Which perhaps will make us all safer. Who knows?
Healthcare.
You know, this was a 30-day session. Again, 30-day sessions are just for budgets, but we had lots of other bills put on the governor's call. And one of the hot topics for the Department of Health is the opioid crisis that we have. We're very high, second or third in the state of deaths from prescription drugs, prescription opioids. So I've been on task force that's been working on this, and as representing healthcare providers, it's a big issue. So there were several bills related to that make it easier for people to have access to naloxone and Narcan, which are the anti-opioids. You inhale one of those and it brings you back to life if you've had an opioid overdose. But it hasn't been – that drug has not been available to people. And so this bill would enable, with a standing order from a healthcare provider that can prescribe these things, then different individuals could have them, community groups could have them, and be able to save people's lives. So that's an important one, and doing some more education on that. And then also a bill passed that would require prescribing providers, doctors, nurse practitioners, to check this this process called the PNP, which is out of the pharmacy department. And every time you're going to write a prescription for an opioid, you have to check that system to see if your patient is a drug seeker and they're going to five other providers to try to get these drugs. And then check that again every 3 months when you're renewing or when you're renewing a prescription. And the purpose of that is to really make sure that people in the system are not really out there abusing drugs and looking for drugs from many providers.
And we hope that those people then get the help they need to break their addictions.
Well, then that's a whole other story because we did cut behavioral health services some within the budget. And since we didn't fund Medicaid sufficiently in this budget, then that also will continue to be a problem. Another hot issue under healthcare was the lawsuit that the Supreme Court ruled on, where a patient who lives on the border of our state and goes to Texas, goes to Arizona, goes to Denver, to Colorado, if you're a patient in New Mexico and you have a malpractice against a provider, you're going to have to sue that provider in their state and not New Mexico, And so this law clarified that, that even though your insurance company tells you you have to go across the border because we don't have that specialty provider, you can't come and sue that provider in New Mexico because our malpractice laws and caps are so much different than the other states. So that was something that had to be solved.
All right. So let's see. So the next thing is things like ethics reform and campaign finance reform.
Ethics reform. Well, we had didn't we have a lot of talk about that? And
sure
we had
did.
lots of bills introduced. I counted there were about 10 bills that dealt with campaign reform, lobbyist reform, ethics reform. Of course, the big bill was a constitutional amendment to create an ethics commission. And that's a bill in some version that's been introduced since 2005 to create an ethics commission that would be able to take complaints and review the behaviors of legislators, of other elected public officials, lobbyists, et cetera. And this constitutional amendment did pass the House, and it got into a Senate committee and was amended in a manner that the sponsor of the bill didn't like, so he pulled the legislation. And there was, I mean, there were good arguments on both sides of that. In a constitutional amendment, you don't usually write the whole bill. You just sort of give the structure of it. And then if it passes, the legislature comes back the next year and writes an enabling statute, which will then tell you how you're going to do that. And the Senate committee took out a lot of that language about how to do it, saying that we should really do that in the statute. So anyway, that bill failed, and
okay.
So we won't be having an ethics commission anytime soon.
I bet that ethics commission legislation will be back.
I bet it will be, too. Then there was one campaign reporting bill that did pass and should be on the way to the governor, and that's a bill to really clean up how the Secretary of State does the lobbyist and candidate campaign reporting. It's a really clunky system. As a lobbyist, I have to go in and report all of my contributions, and any time I spend over a certain amount for on a candidate, and it's not really easy for the public then to go in and look at that, and it's not really easy as it could be for us to file those and for political candidates to file those. So this bill would require that it become more transparent for the public and make the system a little easier so that there could be cross-checking between what the lobbyist says they gave to the candidate and what the candidate reports. That's a good bill. That's certainly a good idea. All the other campaign reform, lobbyist reform bills died in various committees.
What about education? Do third graders get to go to fourth grade?
Yes, there's no impediment for them now. The bill that would require retention for third graders who can't read did fail again for the fifth year, I think. And, of course, there's an effort by all the school districts to try to put more resources into getting kids to read. And the philosophy is from the Democrats has been, you know, that's where we need to put our focus and let the schools decide, because kids do get retained in various grades for various reasons. So it's a local school district issue in many people's minds.
The surrealism, I just have to point out, of saying we're going to put focus on teaching kids to read is mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, it's a different day than we went to school. So the big constitutional amendment that would have put more money into the K through 12, put that back into the school districts at a percentage, taking that percentage out of the permanent fund, that never had a hearing in the House. It passed the Senate but died in the House. A bill did pass to remove some of those school readiness tests in the 10th and 11th grade. As we've talked about here for years,
the over testing,
yeah. So that I was surprised that bill passed with bipartisan support. Well, both Republicans and Democrats are hearing from constituents that there's just too much testing. So a few less tests in the 10th and 11th grade now. And then one bill that passed was to create a life-saving curriculum, which is like CPR and AEDs in health classes in the public schools, so that kids know how to do CPR if one of their friends falls over from a heart attack.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else? There's a few more maybe miscellaneous items.
Well, the Uber-Lyft bill finally passed.
Remind us what that was all about.
So that was that's been an issue for several years in New Mexico because the Public Regulation Commission, who regulates transportation and taxi cabs and vans and all that, they said they didn't really have the authority to regulate the Uber-Lyft businesses.
Right.
So, first of all, they said they couldn't operate in New Mexico, and then there was a big uproar, and they said, okay, you can, but we really can't regulate you. So anyway, this law passed that sets the parameters for actually regulating the PRC, what they can do in regulating these companies. Now, the companies will, in the bill, the people are independent contractors. The drivers now have to be 21 years of age. There's the requirement for insurance of a certain type. There's a process for people complaining. So this sort of outlines now how this system will work in New Mexico and gives the PRC that regulatory authority. And I'm sure that will be signed by the governor, too.
And so Uber is already working here, but now there will be regulations that company has to follow.
Right. All and right. Lyft may be here, too. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, Linda Siegel, thank you so much, as always. It's a pleasure to work with you during the legislature and after. Thanks for being with us, Mary Charlotte.
And if we want another update after the 20 days from when the governor has to sign or veto, I'll be happy to do that.
We will see. Yeah, we can talk about that. And there's something called pocket vetoes, which is if you don't actually sign something, it's
de
facto vetoed.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And I'm sure there will be some line item vetoes to the big budget, too, because one of the key things about the budget is that it drops our reserves down to about 5%. Which is of concern to many.
Of concern to many. Well, Linda Siegel is with us every week during the legislative session and every year. I don't know how many years we've been doing it, but it's been a long time. She's a lobbyist for healthcare and education.
Education and nonprofits.
Yeah. So thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.